Okay, fellow battle buddies. After a couple of mic tests here, I think I'm finally all set to take this off. I'm George, and I'll be running solo today for this episode of Battle Buddies. I'm just going to try this out and see how it does. I'm going to be doing a kind of short, maybe 10, 15, 20 minute tops Dungeon Master tips video here. Video, my apologies, podcast. It's gonna be real basic, real short and sweet. You know, I have DM'd a few campaigns now, you know, made the world of Hailmir. There are certainly more experienced people out there than I, but this is what I personally do. And maybe, you know, for the more seasoned DMs, game masters out there, you'll find something here you didn't know. But this is definitely gonna be geared towards the starters. Today I'm just going to be going through the basics of stat blocks, essentially. I feel like that is kind of what stumbles a lot of the starter, the newer DMs, is that they don't really know how to read a monster's stat block. Beyond that, I do use the challenge rating system, which, you know, can be argued upon, but for me, it's never failed. Kobold Fight Club. You know, just throw that into Google, Kobold Fight Club. It is my favorite resource to help essentially just balance out combat, figure out the exact difficulty. You know, if I'm throwing in something that's too easy, maybe add a couple of underlings, so on and so forth. So as this is episode one, we're gonna start small here and then gradually you know, raise the difficulty and go over other things like, you know, creating NPCs, allies, villains, you know, stuff to homebrew, items, towns, all those goodies of DMing. So before we dive in here, I'm going to be using the Owlbear stat block, a good classical, traditional, everybody knows what this thing is, monster. So if you prefer to follow along in the monster manual, you can find them on page 249. So before we dive into that, you know, I'll give you a moment to find it and whatnot. My first piece of advice is just breathe, just take a breath, relax. I know how DMing is. It can be one of the most stressful things that would be happening to you in your present life. You know, just relax, remember you're amongst friends. And here we go, we'll dive into it and we'll see what this owlbear is all about and how to read this thing. Okay, so first of all, at the top of every stat block, you will have the creature, their size, their type, for lack of a better term, and their alignment, which it can seem useless to some people, but I'll explain why none of these things are. First of all, the size for the owlbear, you can see it's large. There's lots of grappling type rules, you know, with your contested athletics check that, you know, if you're a medium creature, you know, could have disadvantage, for example, against grappling an owlbear as it is large sized. And I believe there are some knockback type effects too, you know, a couple of various spells that depend on the size of the creature. So, you know, there are some abilities, some spells and things, you know, Battlemaster maneuvers come to mind as well, that do make a difference depending on the creature size. So don't just gloss over that and think that it's useless. It's there for a reason. Okay, secondly, right next to that, we have monstrosity. That is what an owlbear is. It is a monstrosity. So say, for example, instead you would have a cleric in the party. And instead of an owlbear, this was a zombie. It would instead read undead, which, you know, cleric can turn undead. Paladin get an extra damage dice on their divine smite. So, you know, the certain types of monsters, spells, and so on. It does definitely affect the monster and the combat, you know, particularly damage dice. So keep an eye on the type of creature, the type of monster you are using as well. And beyond that is the alignment, which the owlbear here we have as unaligned. So, you know, usually, you know, you'll see chaotic or lawful, evil or good, you know, and you can always have neutral for either. You can't have true neutral, you know, but generally you'll see like chaotic, evil, you know, lawful, evil, chaotic, neutral, or even just it shortened to LG or whatever its alignment does happen to be. Moving further on down here is all the math. So we can see the Owlbear's armor class is 13. So when your PC rolls to hit, they will have to roll an exact 13 to hit an Owlbear. And if they do, you'll reduce whatever that damage is from the Owlbear's hit points, which is 59. Pretty standard, pretty easy so far, right? Speed is 40 feet. Most PCs, I would say 3/4 of them or so, maybe just more than half, will all have 30 feet. So Owlbear is a little bit quicker. We would be talking 10 feet, so two more squares of movement if you're using a battle map. And then we have its stats below it. So whenever you are rolling a saving throw, like I said, this is very much so geared for new people. You'll add the number that's in parentheses here. As you can see in the skills, senses, and the challenge, the Owlbear doesn't have any saving throws, so you'll just add the modifier, the number in the parentheses. So for example, if your PC is casting, let's say Fireball, for the sake of example, Fireball does require a dexterity saving throw, so on the Owlbear's end, you will just add a +1 because it does not have any saving throws. So just roll your d20, you roll a 10, total would be 11 on its dexterity saving throw. Where instead with some monsters, you know, above or below, maybe sandwiched right in between the skills and senses, you'll see something for saving throws. Which in that case, you know, you would add that modifier instead. But if there isn't a modifier, like the Owlbear in this case, it doesn't have any modifiers for any saving throws, you'll just add its stat. So like if it's a charisma saving throw, roll your d20, subtract 2 from it. Pretty easy. Then we move on to its skills, where it's got a +3 for its perception, and that's it. So once again, just roll a perception check, add 3, and that would be the Owlbear's perception. Senses is referring to, it can get a little bit more in depth with stuff like tremor sense, which obviously Owlbear doesn't have. You know, this is for, you know, a very basic rundown of it. So dark vision of 60 feet, you know, that's not bad at all. And then there is the passive perception of 13, which is actually very cool. It might seem like nothing, but it's actually very cool. So as a DM using a Owlbear, you don't even have to necessarily roll a perception check if you wouldn't like to. If your PCs spot this Owlbear and they're trying to sneak past it, you'll obviously have them roll a stealth check. But if you feel like this Owlbear doesn't necessarily need to roll that perception check to spot them, just use its passive perception. So what you would essentially be doing is making that stealth check for your PCs, your player characters, 13, because that's what the Owlbear's passive perception is. And then we have the challenge rating, which is 3, and next to that, the 700 experience. That's up to the dungeon master, the GM or DM, if you guys are using experience points to, you know, keep track of that. Then we have the keen sight and smell. Again, really cool to offer advantage to the Owlbear on its perception checks, but it is a little bit particular that it relies on the sight or smell. So say you would have somebody cast blindness on the Owlbear, it would no longer have the advantages of using the keen sight and smell because it relies on the sight. So the blindness would, for lack of a better term, equal out, take away, you know, make it an evil playing field for that keen sight and keen smell if it has something impeding its vision. Right, and moving on to the last little bit here are the actions. As you can see, it makes two attacks, one with its beak and one with its claws. So you, as the DM, you know, controlling the owlbear, you can't do two beak attacks and you can't do two claw attacks. You know, do one beak, one claw. You know, if you got three PCs surrounding it, you can obviously distribute the attacks as you wish. You know, you don't have to have the beak and the claw both go against one person. If you'd like to, you can, that's great. But you don't have to. So we can see that it is a melee weapon attack with plus 7 to hit, so you just roll your d20, add 7 to hit. It has a reach of 5 feet, which reach does matter. You know, something like a glaive or you know, your fighter battle master with lunge, for example, those things can go 10 feet, which is an indirect melee, so moving around in such sense, the player character isn't within 5 feet, it wouldn't provoke an attack of opportunity. So it having the reach of 5 feet is there for a reason, because that is indirect melee. Obviously only hits one creature, and if you do hit, that's when you read the hit that's italicized with the colon next to it, and you would roll 1d10 plus 5. So, for the sake of example, if you were to hit with the beak attack, just roll a d10 and add 5. If you roll a 10, that's 15 damage. That's pretty good. And the secondary attack is the claws attack with the same to hit modifier. So once again, you just roll plus 7 to hit, same reach of 5 feet. But instead of that 1d10 plus 5, you would roll 2d8 plus 5. And that would be its entire series of actions, using the one beak and the one claw attack. The numbers, if it does seem random, they are there purposefully. Most notably, the modifier for damage. How with the beak it's 1d10 plus 5, and with the claws it's 2d8 plus 5. That plus 5 isn't a random number that was just made up. That plus 5 is based on the owlbear's strength. You can see that the strength is 20. Remember how just a few minutes ago we talked about like rolling a strength saving throw, how you would add plus 5? That's where that number comes from, is 1d10 plus 5, because it's based on strength. So like, in the sense of, even though you're not going to have a player character asking you for an owl bear character sheet, we would say that you know, its proficiency bonus could be plus 2, which is where the to hit number comes from, which is plus 7. So it uses the strength plus 5 to hit. Say the proficiency is plus 2, 5 and 2 is 7, which is its to hit, and the 5, like I said, also comes from that strength, because that's its modifier. Which, that is a very basic, very quick, simple rundown for a stat block. Closing it down here, the last little tidbit of info that I can provide is, obviously, if you're running combat, tracking initiative is a big deal. That's part of running combat as a DM, obviously. A little trick, a little tip that I've developed, actually just in the past few months, you know, 6 months or so maybe, I've been doing this. I'm pre-rolling my initiative for my monsters, so that way when I tell my PCs to roll initiative, I already have the initiative for the monsters there on the side, that we're all not rolling a bunch of numbers together, and I can move around it. So that's just something to consider, as well as when you are asking for initiative, to do it in intervals of 5, I think, is the easiest way to go from. So, you know, from top to bottom, you know, especially in the case of the owlbear, you're probably not going to see anything above a 20. So just, you know, 15 to 20, 10 to 15, 10 to 5, and then below 5. And you'll just go in order, take your breath, relax, roll your to hit, and you should be just fine, truthfully. And as usual, let us know if you do like stuff such as this, if it is maybe a little too easy, a little too basic or ordinary. You know, let us know. I'd love to go in more depth. Or if a lot of you guys out there are newer DMs, you know, we'll just continue easing into things. You know, maybe in the next one we can talk about like making your first NPC, making your first item. You know, there are tons and tons of things that we can go through, even just, you know, memorizing your dice and your skill checks to have your PCs to roll. That's a really big thing, is just getting in the habit of being able to decipher at any given moment, any given time, scenario. Because we all know as DMs, our players are crazy, what skill check is associated with what they're doing. So just let us know. You know, we love feedback. We love interacting with you guys. If this was too easy, or if this was, you know, right at that sweet spot of, you know, let's continue to ease into it, just let us know. All right, I had a lot of fun doing this. Hopefully it can become some sort of like little mini series here, and I'll see you guys next time.